Jesus, we're thankful to be here today and for your many blessings. I pray that you'd be with all those that are sick, all those that are hurting this morning, that your healing hand would reach down and touch them. Father, I pray for a special anointing this morning, that you would guide every word spoken, that you would anoint the ears to hear your message. Father, that I wouldn't say anything out of your will, but you would lead me now. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I've been on vacation this week and kind of out of my routine, and it's funny how I don't realize how much routine helps until you're not in your routine. And so I've been out of routine this week, and so I was praying. Usually I'm out driving and delivering, and I get long spots that I'm running down the highway to pray and think and listen to message and listen for the Lord to speak to me. But I didn't have that this week, and so it really it kind of messed with me a little bit for the message. But the message that I feel like the Lord wanted me to bring today, some messages are really like fun, like you're excited for people to hear, and other messages are kind of hard. It's still truth, but they're kind of hard, and this is probably one of those harder messages. I titled it "Speaking Truth in Love," and beginning in Proverbs 21:2, it says, "All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart." So, do we have any know-it-alls in here besides me? Like, yeah, Adam, thank you for being honest. Like, do we not think we know the best on most things, and we kind of have that tendency about us, and that's what the Word of God says. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the hearts. And I don't want to get into politics and all that stuff, but I look around at the lost and blindness of people, especially what's going on right now, and how they're so adamant to think that they are so right. And I'm looking at them and saying they're so lost. They don't see the truth. And it's scary to be that committed to something and you're going the wrong way. You're going in the wrong direction. We all think we're right. We don't think we're wrong. And the scary thing is when we are wrong and we don't even realize it. There is a guy that I delivered to, and I really like him. He's a great person. He's a great guy. But we have total opposite views on things sometimes. And about a year ago, I was telling him something, and he started giving me that half smile like, yeah, you're an idiot, is what I felt like he was saying. He didn't say it, and he didn't believe what I was telling him. I said, Google it. Oh, I said, Google it right now. I'm standing here. He's got his computer in front of him. And when he Googled it, it was like somebody had slapped him because he was wrong and I was right. Okay, so once I got something right, okay? But I knew what I was talking about, but he was so adamant that I was completely wrong. And he didn't believe me. I look around at what's going on in the world and what's going on in many people's lives, and I think how many people are wrong today and they don't even know it. Matthew 7 13 and 14 says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." So, those verses tell me right there, wide is the road that's leading into destruction. Do you think people would purposely head towards destruction? If right now I said, man, Abbott is on fire, the highway's closed, there's flames going across Highway 71, how many of you would jump in your car and go, let's go drive right through the middle of it? Now, some of you might drive down there to get close to see it, but not many of you would want to drive right into the middle of the flames, right into the middle of the fire. But how many people are on that road, that wide road that leads to destruction? And they think they're good, they think they're okay, they think they're right, but it says, narrow is the road that leads to life. So what are you following this morning? Are you on the narrow road? Are you on the wide road? What path would you be on? Matthew 15:14 says, "Leave them, they are blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, both will fall into a pit." And so I'm thinking, what are you following this morning? What am I following this morning? Is it a blind person? Is it somebody leading you astray? Are you looking at the news? Are you looking at the internet? Or are you following some preacher that's not really standing on the Word of God and the truth of God? And they're leading people astray all the time. It's even in the church. It's even in the church. We come to church and we think, well, I want something good. I want something that feeds my soul. I want to be uplifted. There's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes you need to hear not only the uplifting part, but the truth part. And the truth part is, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many are on it this morning. What are you following after? What are you chasing after? Is it a blind person leading you? John 17:17 says, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." See, as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about how many people say, "Well, I feel this is truth." Or have you ever heard someone say, "This is my truth"? What does that even mean? This is my truth. That's your truth. This is my truth. What? There is truth, and there is right, and there is wrong. There's truth, and there's a lie. There's black, there's white. And so many people say, "Well, this is my truth." You have your truth, this is my truth. But the Word of God is truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. And see, what I believe is that we need to quit relying upon feelings. We need to quit relying upon what grandma and grandpa said, what mom and dad said, what so-and-so said, and begin to look at our life reflected against the Word of God. Because that's the only thing that matters. This is the truth. It says, "Sanctify them by the truth." Your word is truth. And so many of us are, "Well, I believe this and I believe that." Now, you know, like at work, you may do your job one way, and someone else may do their job another way, but you both can kind of come to the same conclusion. We got a lot of school teachers in here, and as I went through different school teachers throughout the year, they all taught differently. But in the end, I still didn't learn. No, I wasn't a very good student. But there is different ways of teaching. We understand that. There is different ways, but the reality is there's so many people that say, "Well, I believe this." Well, why do you believe that? Well, because grandpa told me, or mom told me, or dad told me, or I heard this preacher one time on the radio. I've never met him. I know nothing about him. But I heard him say it, and it sounded good, so I've just believed it. But see, we want real truth. We need to have the Word of God in our life. We need to be sanctified by the Word of God. In this John 17, I wanted to read a little more here. John 17:15, it says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." It's truth. Jesus was praying for you and for me, saying, "Protect them from the evil one." That's awesome to think about, but it's also reality is we have an evil one trying to destroy us every day. He's trying to put stumbling blocks in our life. He tries to put temptations in front of us. Have you ever been like on top of the world, maybe doing great, walking with God, and everything's going good, and then all at once, boom! And a temptation comes. You know, where did that even come from? I tell too many stories, so I need to stop, but I just like crime shows. I can't help it. I go in spurts where I watch them, but like real crime shows. But we watched a crime show this week that was so sad. It was a young Christian couple that was working at a church camp. They'd only known each other for 6 months. They were already engaged, planning on getting married, and they wanted to start their own church camp. And they had went on a trip to the beach, and they decided to sleep on the beach in the middle of the night. They were a stranger just walked up and killed them. And it took, I don't remember, 13, 15 years to solve this. And when they finally solved it, the man confessed and he said, "I just heard voices telling me go kill them." So I did. And I told Crystal, I said, do you think that God had such an anointing on their life that Satan was doing everything he could to stop them? And he did. They're in heaven now, but he did. You say, man, Pete, that's dark. Why are you telling the stories like this? I thought God could protect us. God can protect us, but the reality is that there's an evil one that wants to destroy you. And so I think, and this is kind of hard to say, but death isn't our enemy because we believe in Jesus Christ, and when we die, we're going to heaven. But Satan causing us to stumble and destroying our testimony, that's our enemy. Because people are looking at your life, they're looking at my life, and they say, oh, they live by the truth. They live by they're Christians. And then you blow up at work and cuss someone out, or you fall into an affair, or whatever it is that God can destroy you and your testimony. And the enemy is doing that all the time. So Jesus prayed, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Y'all, I could have probably just preached the whole sermon on these few verses here, but are you of the world? If you're of the world, you're following the wide road. If you act like the world, you talk like the world, you use everything the world does, that's what Jesus said, I'm not of the world. And then the verse that I read a minute ago, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. If you're struggling with temptation this morning, if you're struggling with sin in your life, if you've been falling short, sanctify. I looked up what sanctified means, and it says to make holy, that is to purify or consecrate. So if you are struggling with sin this morning, if you're struggling with some temptation, you say, Pete, I just can't seem to get set free from it. He says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That means your word. Not a counselor, not your best friend. That means the word is truth. And if you want to be sanctified, you want to be purified, you want to get set free, we need to grab hold of this truth here. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. I was thinking, so he says, I'm sending them into the world. So you know what that tells me? That I read his word and I'm sanctified. Then he's sending me out, praying for me to be protected from the evil one, but that I have a job to do. And you have a job to do this morning. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, may they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. There's purpose there that the world may believe, complete unity, that the world may know. We have a purpose in our life. God has a calling in our life, and we have a responsibility to speak the truth. And that's where I wanted to go with all this, is we have a responsibility to speak the truth, and sometimes the truth is not easy. Sometimes the truth is hard to hear. I've always thought it amazing that people that don't want to go to the doctor because they don't want to hear what's wrong with them. You know something's wrong with you, and you don't want to be told what's wrong with you. Does it change the fact that something's wrong with you, whether you know it or not? No, but you pray, you ask God to give you wisdom, you ask God to give you insight, but we just don't ignore a problem. But how many people just ignore something because they think if they ignore it long enough, then it's not true, it's not real. So I was thinking about all this. I was thinking about being sanctified. I was thinking about the responsibility that we have, and I was thinking about how many people water down the truth now. But we have a responsibility to not water down the truth anymore. And you go back to Jonah, and this is familiar text that we've all heard as little kids in children's church. We heard about Jonah getting swallowed by the big fish. And Jonah 1, verse 2, and then I'm going to go to chapter 3 if anybody wants to turn there. But Jonah 1, 2 says, "Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." You notice what he says? Preach against it. We're also scared to stand for anything now, to preach against anything, because we'll offend somebody. We may lose half the church. We may hurt that person's feelings. We may we have all these excuses. And you know, if right now I knew your car, the brakes were bad, and your brakes were failing, and I knew you were about to get on the interstate and drive 70 miles an hour, and I didn't tell you, "Hey, your brake fluid's leaking all in the parking lot, you have no brakes right now, you need to stop, and you need to get that fixed," would any of you say, "That's so offensive? How could you say that about my brakes, about my vehicle? You hurt my feelings." No, you'd be like, "Thank you for stopping me. I was about to head on this long trip, and man, I'd have crashed in no time. Thank you for stopping me." Do we ever think of the Word of God that way? We're warning people they're headed down that broad road of destruction. It says, preach against their wickedness, and then jump over to chapter 3. I'm leaving out about him getting swallowed by the fish, but you guys know the story. If not, read it. It's good. Chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned." I really pray, I'm not just saying this, I really pray that God's speaking right now and it's not me, because this is really hard, church, because we hear so much about God's love and God's forgiveness and God's mercy, and it's all true. It's all true. But we don't hear much about God's judgment coming anymore. And that's just as true. He didn't say, "Oh, Jesus is coming someday and he's going to pay for all your sins." He didn't say, "God loves you so much." He said, 40 more days and this city is going to be overturned. It's going to be destroyed. You know, we tell people about how much God loves them so much, and I praise God for that. We got to tell people about how much God loves them. But the other side of that is that God is also a just God and a righteous God, and that wrath is coming for those who don't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Jonah didn't water it down. He says 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast, and all of them, from greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robe, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh: "By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence." You see what he's saying? He's not saying God loves you so much. He's saying repent. He's saying give up your evil ways. Give up your violence. Call upon God urgently. And see, with that being left out so often now, people just say, "Oh, God loves me. God loves me. I'm all good. It's my truth. My truth is God loves me." Yes, God loves you. But God hates sin. He hates sin. And the wickedness that it had spread in those people, they called on God urgently. Why? I didn't look it up, but I think it was Peter. It was either Peter or Paul, one of them in Acts, and I think it was Peter. And when he began to preach to them, and it says they were cut to their heart, and they cried out, "God, what should we do? What should we do?" You know, I'm very blessed. I have so many people that love me. I mean, I am so blessed. And you know, this week I hung out with my dad quite a bit. I was on vacation and we was watching the baseball game together and stuff. And you know what? There wasn't one time that I went into my dad's house and I thought, man, punishment, I'm in trouble. But you know, I can still remember getting in trouble at school and bringing a note home to my dad in the dread. Oh no. When I was growing up, if I got in trouble at school, it was 10 times worse at home. It wasn't none of this, "Dad's going to go defend me at school." It was, "Oh no, you can keep your mouth shut, boy." You know, and I was in trouble at home worse. But that dread and that fear of, "Oh no, I've messed up." It doesn't matter how much I know my dad loves me. When I was doing wrong, I knew punishment was coming. And see, today, so many people, all they think about is the love, and they don't think about consequences for their action. These people were cut to their heart, and they cried out. Verse 9, "Who knows, God may yet relent with compassion, turn from His fierce anger, so that we will not perish." When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, He had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction He had threatened. See, God loves us. That's awesome. That's awesome. God loves us. And He didn't bring it upon them. Why? Because they turned from their evil ways. They turned from their wickedness. They repented. Their lives changed. But see, Jonah didn't water down the message either. He spoke truth. But today it seems like anybody that's willing to speak truth is shut down. We're called names. We're told we're intolerant. When really it's just because we love people. And I was thinking about John the Baptist. And John the Baptist, what did he say when the Pharisees were all coming out? And he says, "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" And he called them a brood of vipers. "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" What was Jesus' message? Jesus' message was repent, repent, repent. And He called the Pharisees whitewashed tombs. He says, "You're full of dead men's bones." Does anybody get this morning? We talk so much about God's love, but Jesus preached truth. John the Baptist preached truth. Jonah preached the truth. And somehow the truth has been lost in our days and our times. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 1, verse 18. And see, I think sometimes it's hard to understand for me. I don't have to understand it, but I do believe it. And the truth is, in 1:18, it says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." That's not Pete. That's the Word of God. It's saying the wrath is going to be revealed against godlessness, against those who do wickedness, against those who suppress the truth by their wickedness. God's wrath is coming. Verse 19, "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. And when I read this, all I'm thinking about is how many of us has exchanged the glory of God in seeking the things of God for the things of this world and the things that satisfy the flesh and the things that satisfy our human desires. Verse 24, therefore God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who's forever praised. Amen. You see, that's truth. That's truth right now that people have exchanged the glory of God for created things. That we're chasing after our fleshly desires, whether it's in sexual immorality or things made, things worshiped, things that we love to do instead of serving God. Matthew 5:13-16 says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." I probably should do it again. It was when I first started preaching here, but I think we did like 3 or 4 Sunday nights on all the salt does. It was a pretty interesting study, and that's what we're to be in this world. And he says, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And I wanted to read this because all I can think about is truth, truth, truth. And for it to be the light of the world, and we need to be speaking truth. We need to be speaking truth and letting people know your brakes are bad. You're headed down the wrong road. You're headed into the fire. You're headed into the flames. But we're so sissified now. Is that even a word? We're scared of what people might say, of what they might think, of how we might be put out. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." If God's making His appeal through you and through me, then that means it can't just be part truth. It can't be half truth. It has to be the whole truth. Now, there's different situations. There's different circumstances. We have to rely totally upon the Holy Spirit in all this. Because sometimes God's going to have you... I've told this story before. It was years ago. But there was a young man one time, and I went and picked him up, and I let him have it. I was chewing him out. And this dude could have whooped me from one end of the block to the other. He was a big old dude. But the Lord, I just felt like the anointing of God was on me and I was letting him have it. And you know what that big old dude did? He began to weep and cry. He said, "I've blown it, Pete. I've blown it." That was the Lord leading. Okay? And I was speaking truth into his life of how he'd blown it. There's other times that people need to hear God loves you. Through your hurt, through your pain, through your mistakes, God loved you. But what did Jesus say? Go now and leave your life of sin. And you have to tell that truth. Go now, leave your life of sin. Are we the light of the world? Are we pointing people to Jesus? At work, at Walmart, at church. Are people looking at our lives and saying, "Well, when I compare their life to the Word of God, they're walking in truth"? Not comparing their life to how everybody lives. Not comparing their lives to so-and-so or grandpa or grandma or whoever. Not comparing their life, reflecting it up against the Word of God. Are they walking in truth? Romans 10:14-15, it says, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Are you a person today that's bringing the good news? I want you to think about it. The good news is that the wrath of God will be poured out against those who are disobedient. But Jesus made a way for all of us. That's the good news, is that Jesus made a way. But are you willing to repent? Are you willing to put down that life of sin and that old life and give your life to Jesus Christ and let Him truly be Lord and Savior? 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. See, how selfish are we to have this knowledge, to have this truth, but to never share it? To never let anybody know that you can be rescued. And that's not rescued in you're going to a prosperity gospel that your life is going to be fantastic if you accept Jesus. Your life will be fantastic, but you're still going to have trouble. You're still going to have trials. And He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And that He made a way that you can overcome that sin, that you can overcome that temptation. Sanctify them by the truth. To hear that truth of Word of God and to meditate on it. There was times in my life, and I probably need to do it again because sometimes I still struggle. And there was times in my life that I had on our refrigerator, that I had on my mirror. There's verses that I had in my phone. And whenever I'd get to a certain point and I'd begin to struggle, and I'd pull up those verses real quick and I'd read them over and read them over and read them over. Why? Because I wanted the truth of God in my life to give me strength to overcome, to give me strength to not fail. Last verse. Ephesians 4:15. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. So speaking the truth in love in all this, in every part of it, we're not saying, you're going to hell! Standing on the street corner with our signs and screaming at people, you're going to hell. That's not what I'm saying here. Because see, when you speak truth in love, it's sometimes getting to know somebody. It's sometimes letting people see your life. But church, when the Holy Spirit leads, we can't be scared to stop and say, you know what? I love you too much to not share the truth with you. There's a verse in Proverbs that says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies his kisses. You know what that tells me is that you guys that I know that you love me and you know that I love you, if you say something that hurts my feelings, if you say something that I don't like, but I know how much you love me, then I can handle it and I can reflect. And we may not always agree, but I was like, well, they love me. They're trying to point me back. They see something that I don't see. But an enemy multiplies his kisses. An enemy will tell you what you want to hear. And how great you are, how awesome you are, how good looking you are, whatever it is, you know, how phenomenal you are. But all this spoken in love, it's with the goal of saying, I don't want you to perish. I don't want you to perish. That Jesus made a way. Jesus made a way that we can be reconciled, that you can live for eternity in heaven. Hell is real. And wide is a road that leads to destruction. But narrow is a road that leads to eternal life. And Jesus made a way. And so I hope and I pray that everybody that's in this room this morning has made that decision to turn their life over to Jesus Christ. It's all Jesus. It's what He did on that cross for you and for me. But then it says that we might become the righteousness of God. Then your life's changed and you're on a different path. You're on a different way. Those people in Nineveh, what did they do? They wept. They put on sackcloth and ash. They quit eating and they said, Oh that God would not bring this punishment upon us. Their life was changed. Have you done that at some point in your life? Said, Jesus, please forgive me. I've done it multiple times where I wept. God, why did I do that? Forgive me. But then there was a change. Something happened. Are we speaking the truth in love to those around us? God, you don't want your worst enemy to go to hell. How will they know if we don't tell them? Let's stand. Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that this message, Lord, that we would all take it to heart. Lord, I know that none of this is possible without your Holy Spirit and your guidance and your leadership. But Lord, may we not be fearful and shrink back and be scared to speak the truth when the time is right, when we're supposed to speak the truth. May we stand boldly. May people understand that we're coming from a place of love, that we don't want them to perish. We don't want them to go to hell. That we want them to know the truth. And the truth is that you've made a way. That you are a loving God that relents from and that doesn't treat us as our sins deserve, Father. And thank you for that. And may we be able to get that message out to those around us, and that we might see people all around us begin to turn their lives over to you. Lord, if there's any here today that's never really cried out to you, that's never really asked you to be their Lord and Savior, never really asked you to forgive them of their sins, may this be the time, may this be the moment that they would do it. That we would look at, each and every one of us would look at our lives up against your word. Are we living by truth, real truth? Or have we compromised? May we no longer compromise. May we seek you with all of our heart. May you give us strength to overcome the enemy and these temptations and these sins. And may we throw them off, those that so easily entangle us. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need prayer this morning, if you need forgiveness this morning, if you need to ask Jesus to be your Savior this morning, if you need boldness this morning, whatever it is, pray. And I believe that God will hear your prayers this morning and that He'll answer them. The gospel is called the good news, and it's called the good news for a reason. It's good news. That you can be forgiven of your sins. That you can be set free from your past. It's so awesome that God doesn't treat us as our sins, as our iniquities, as we deserve. That He is a forgiving, loving God. I'm so thankful. But are we living our lives for Him now? Not just going through the motions, but truly seeking Him. Thought of the verse, washing them through the Word. And sanctify them by your truth. Church, if you're struggling this morning, the answer's right here. It's not another sermon. It's not Oprah. It's the Word. It's the Word. Sanctifying them by the truth. If you're struggling this morning, get in the Word. Ask the Holy Spirit to lead you as you read. It may be one verse that you need for that day to meditate on. It may be a chapter. I don't know. I could keep going. Time's short. We are but a vapor that appears for a little while. I was listening to that song this weekend that I asked Mitzi to sing first, In the Garden. I always hear that song at funerals. You guys ever hear that song at a funeral? That's when we usually hear that song, is at a funeral. We're all going to be standing before the Lord someday. Has Jesus forgiven you this morning? If you haven't asked Him, He will. It's good news.